Welcome back to the Emily Show. The amount of law nerd interest in this case is somewhat unprecedented. From the time that P. Diddy, Sean Combs' homes in Los Angeles and Miami got raided on March 25th, y'all have been asking me if we are going to talk about this case. I have in previous episodes talked about the Cassie Ventura lawsuit that settled. That was right at the end of November 2023 on the Emily Show podcast, but we have not covered this since then. A lot has happened. Today, we are going to talk about what might have led to these federal raids, what they could have been looking for, what happens next, why were these homes raided, why hasn't he been arrested yet. Lawyers have put out statements, Homeland Security's put out a statement. There's much to discuss when we look at what's going on with P. Diddy. So to completely steal 50 Cent's joke from Instagram, is Diddy done? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's get into it. Welcome to The Emily Show. I'm Emily D. Baker, the internet's go-to legal analyst and big fan of the cursey words. I've been a licensed attorney for over 17 years. I'm a former prosecutor, and I break down the legal side of pop culture and entertainment stories we can't stop talking about. We should just get into it. Let's go. A huge thank you to today's sponsor, Honeylove, for making episodes of The Emily Show like this one possible. The podcast can cover a wide variety of topics and cases because of our sponsors. I know that I feel the support from sponsors like Honeylove in more ways than one, because Honeylove has the most incredible bras, including super supportive bras without underwire, which is very hard to find. You can say goodbye to underwire without sacrificing lift, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. The fabric is incredibly soft, and you will feel and see the difference with their next level comfort. You'll forget you're even wearing it. It's time to consider spring cleaning your bra drawer and find something that supports you without needing to pull at it, tug at it, or worrying about that awful bra back bulge that we all hate. From the popular lace crossover to their incredible V-neck bra, don't forget to check out their sleepwear. It is literally my favorite. I keep adding more of it because it has replaced all other sleepwear. It absolutely reigns supreme. It's time to treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/lawnerd. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/lawnerd. And after you purchase, they will ask you who sent you. Please make sure to show the lawnerd love to The Emily Show. Let's get back to today's episode. So today, I really want to take a look not just at what the feds might have been looking for in these raids, but what happens next. We know that as of the recording of this episode, on April 1st, 2024, P. Diddy has not been arrested. There has been one arrest that might be connected to him. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That arrest went down the same day the raids did. We're going to talk about why everyone is now talking again about the 1999 New York nightclub shooting where both Diddy and J-Lo were detained. We're going to talk about what Keefe D, who is waiting for trial in November 2024 for the murder of Tupac, might have said about P. Diddy, what he said in his book about P. Diddy, the fact that he had a former deal with federal prosecutors and maybe talking to federal prosecutors again. And we're going to talk about the Little Rod lawsuit. Again, I covered the Cassie Ventura lawsuit on the podcast, if you want a breakdown of that. The newest Little Rod filing is over 98 pages long. I am not going line by line by it. That is a second amended complaint. Little Rod asked the court to allow for this filing. So this is not the official controlling document yet, but it is the most thorough telling of this. And I think there's a very good possibility the court will allow this early in the proceedings for this second amended complaint to be filed. This second amended complaint was filed March 28th, 2024. The original complaint was filed on February 26th, 2024. So the parties aren't going to be prejudiced by this new filing. It hasn't gone, months and months into the lawsuit for this filing. It involves some additional parties, including suing Cuba Gooding Jr. It involves additional causes of action and additional claims. And the reason we're going to go through the Rodney Jones or Little Rod lawsuit and discuss, there is a very real connection between what's alleged in that lawsuit and things the feds might potentially be looking for. Is it the four lawsuits, not just Little Rod's lawsuit, but Cassie Ventura's lawsuit and two others, one filed by a Jane Doe, even though court has recently said that that Jane Doe plaintiff cannot continue as a Jane Doe and must either file under their name or drop their civil suit against Diddy. But there are two other lawsuits from Joey Neal and Liza Gardner against Sean Combs that echo a lot of the allegations in the Cassie Ventura lawsuit and in the Little Rod lawsuit. So you have five civil lawsuits that, again, Diddy has denied, has said that all of the allegations are false and that he's going to continue to try to clear his name. But you have these five civil lawsuits. And then a month after that Little Rod lawsuit dropped, you have a raid of two of Diddy's homes and an arrest of someone connected with him at the airport that his private jet does use the day of the raids, the day that his private jet, without Diddy on it, seemingly, did go down to the Bahamas. So there's just these little interesting tie-ins to this Little Rod lawsuit. Do I think that those who have civilly sued P. Diddy have been talking to the feds? Absolutely. I absolutely do. And we're going to talk about that in this episode today. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about it because it's the Emily Show. And that's what we do. And I guess the question when it comes to Sean Combs, who I will sometimes probably call Diddy, is why now? There have been allegations that Diddy has been involved in things from that New York nightclub shooting to the murder of Tupac Shakur to many, many other incidents. Why are we now getting into 2024 and just seeing the feds raiding Diddy's homes in connection with what has been reported to be a sex trafficking investigation out of the Southern District of New York? And what do I think that that will bring? First, this raid happened, 2 weeks ago, and there hasn't been an arrest yet. Am I surprised by that? No. Why? Well, I think what the feds were looking for primarily was to preserve digital evidence. In these lawsuits, there are lots of allegations of illegal behavior being recorded by Diddy, him wanting to record all manner of illegal sexual activity, narcotic activity, weapons and guns activity, but all of it being recorded, in addition to allegations that there are security cameras that record, and in Little Rod's lawsuit, that Diddy asked him to record everything. And Little Rod's lawsuit has a ton of screenshots of photos and videos where he says the full depiction of those videos shows illegal activity. So we have now allegations in the Little Rod lawsuit that are closer in time, allegations from 2022 and 2023, where the other lawsuits have allegations much further back in time. And those lawsuits were filed under the New York Survivors Act that extended the statute of limitations for a window of time. So those allegations went back even further in time than the allegations in the Little Rod lawsuit. The Little Rod lawsuit brought allegations that have action and illegal action alleged in 2022 and 2023. So if the feds are considering RICO charges, which I would imagine that with these raids, they probably are, because if they are considering potentially RICO charges like they brought in the R. Kelly case, you would then have the feds being able to reach back in time to connect a pattern of behavior. So let's talk about RICO charges real quick before we get into more allegations. In Little Rod's lawsuit, the statements made by everybody with those Fed raids and really what we're talking about. So when we are talking about RICO lawsuits, we are talking about the federal RICO statute. There are also state RICO statutes. There are also civil RICO statutes. I am talking about federal RICO like we saw in the R. Kelly case. What federal RICO allows prosecutors to do is to prosecute a pattern of activity and behavior for an enterprise. It allows them to bring in allegations and behavior that exceed the statute of limitation to continue to show a pattern. And it allows them to exceed the jurisdiction of the Southern District of New York, which is where it is reported that these warrants for the searches came from. So you have the ability to expand not just statute of limitations and reach back to a pattern of activity, which is why we're starting to hear, will they reach all the way back into these allegations into the 90s? Maybe. But also they can expand the breadth of where the activity happened. And this is particularly important in trafficking cases because you're looking at the potential that people were moved from one location to another, crossed state lines, and not all of the activity that might be brought into a lawsuit happened in the district of the lawsuit, the Southern District of New York, but touched on that district. So we're going to have to wait until we see if and when there is an indictment in this case. But with all of these civil lawsuits, is there a pattern of activity that has been alleged? Yes. Have any of those civil lawsuits been proven in court? No. These are all allegations at this point. There are a tremendous amount of allegations at this point, not just of violence, trafficking, sexual violence, narcotic activity, weapons activity. There is a ton of allegations, but the allegations in a lot of these cases mirror each other. And so when I'm looking through kind of the prosecutor perspective, when you have allegations that mirror each other, it becomes much easier to track them back in a RICO case to show a pattern of behavior because the pattern is similar. It's much harder to track together unrelated things because are those even a pattern? And then when you're looking at whether a music career or a recording label could be an enterprise, yes, we saw it done very successfully in the R. Kelly prosecution. And the lawsuits, all of them allege that things happened in and around studios, that a number of the victims in these cases are individuals that worked with Diddy on a professional level, and he used his money, influence, and power to try to persuade people's behavior, and it sometimes to direct people's behavior into illegal behavior. And that's a lot of what's being alleged in the Little Rod lawsuit, is that he came on to produce music for the latest Love album, and Diddy was holding things over his head, like payment, like I can make sure that you're a Grammy award-winning producer, and on and on and on. So not only do we have power and influence, but we have industry influence as well. So when you start seeing connections between, or I guess connections isn't the right word, when you start seeing parallels being drawn between P. Diddy and Harvey Weinstein or P. Diddy and Jeffrey Epstein, it's not a surprise that we're seeing those analogies drawn. So let's talk about the raids and then we'll talk about the lawsuit. Both of Sean Combs's homes in LA and Miami were raided at the same time. It was widely reported that those were connected to a sex trafficking investigation coming out of the Southern District of New York. Most media outlets picked up a quote that was given to the LA Times from Homeland Security Investigations out of New York, which said, quote, "Earlier today, Homeland Security Investigations New York executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI Los Angeles and HSI Miami and our local law enforcement partners. We will provide further information as it becomes available." And that is all that we have heard officially from them. We know from other media reports and outlets that quite a lot of digital devices were taken out of the homes. Again, I suspect that's a large part of what they were looking for, in addition to weapons. If you saw all of this go down from media or social media, you would have seen that there was quite a lot of officers that responded to these very large properties. It was a lot of officers, but each of the lawsuits that I have reviewed has weapons allegations in it and allegations of illegal weapons. So not only were they looking for weapons, but they are searching very large properties for digital evidence and weapons. And at least as to the Little Rod lawsuit, there are allegations that Sean Combs has been involved in at least two shootings, but we know from KFED that he alleges that Combs was intricately involved in the shooting death of Tupac. So there's a lot of allegations of Combs's own weapons activity. So I'm not surprised that we saw so many law enforcement officers showing up for these raids when they did them. Cassie's lawyer put out a statement saying, quote, "We will always support law enforcement when it seeks to prosecute those that have violated the law. Hopefully this is the beginning of a process that will hold Mr. Combs responsible for his depraved conduct." Of course, she filed her lawsuit in November before the New York statute expired, allowing her to file those lawsuits that reached back further in time for action that happened further back in time beyond your typical statute of limitations. But she also settled it immediately the next day. But we saw other lawsuits pop up after that. I'm not surprised that her lawyer had something to say. I also wouldn't be surprised if she's already talked to federal prosecutors before this happened, as this investigation was underway. A raid like this does not happen first. You have to have probable cause to go in and execute search warrants like this, and probable cause that you think what you're looking for is going to be at the location you're searching. And that's not going to happen without talking to individuals. And this all went down a month after Little Rod's civil lawsuit was filed. So do I think the volume of lawsuits could have helped? Yes. It's going to indicate to federal prosecutors who to talk to. It's a list of these are the individuals that are making complaints against Sean Combs, in addition to those that have spoken up on podcasts and videos on social media, those who have called out his behavior in the past, some that have been calling out his behavior for years. So it gives prosecutors a hand-delivered list of who to talk to. So do I think these civil lawsuits played a part in why we're seeing raids of his home now? Yes, because they have to have a judge approve these warrants, and there has to be probable cause to believe that what is being complained of, that you will find evidence of it at the homes. So when you look at Cassie's lawsuit and others, those allegations go back pretty far in time. It would be easy for a lawyer to argue, well, just because a gun was somewhere 5 years ago doesn't mean it's still there now. Little Rod's lawsuit is much, much closer in time and has a tremendous amount of allegations about potential digital evidence that could still be there. Cassie's lawsuit alleges that there are quite a lot of videos that were taken, and those could still be there. So what is likely to still be at these locations at the time that the warrants are being served is very important. So having a lawsuit that ties Diddy's alleged behavior closer in time to now makes it much easier to meet that probable cause standard for a judge to sign off on these warrants to go search in multiple jurisdictions. You've got action coming out of New York, but you're now searching across multiple jurisdictions in LA and in Miami. With all of that, the day after these raids, Combs' attorney responded in a statement given to USA Today saying, quote, "Yesterday, there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and the hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities." He further said that none of the family members were arrested. Quote, "This unprecedented ambush paired with an advanced coordinated media presence leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits." Quote, "There has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his names." So it's not just me and the other legal talking heads who think that these civil lawsuits are connected to these raids. The statement from Diddy's lawyer clearly indicates that they also believe that these raids are connected to the civil lawsuits. And I'm not surprised, because it's the most reasonable conclusion. And yes, for those of you that have been watching my YouTube channel over the last few weeks, Ruby Frankie also said in jail calls that she believed it was a witch hunt when coming to get her too. It seems to be the thing to say at the moment. What's very interesting to me is this report from USA Today. And we are going to take a look at this report real quick before we get into the lawsuit. So the day of the raids, there is an arrest of an associate of Combs, Brendan Paul, who is discussed quite a lot in the lawsuit filed by Little Rod. Going to the USA Today article, it says, quote, an associate of Sean Diddy Combs was arrested Monday. The same day, two of the Bad Boy Records founders' homes were raided by Homeland Security Investigations agents. The former Syracuse University basketball player, Brendan Paul, was arrested by Miami-Dade Police Department officers at the Miami UPA. I'm not saying that right. OPA. We're going to go with it. I don't know. I have no idea what the private jet airports in Miami are named. That's not my life. Like, literally not at all. But at the Miami Executive Airport, on felony charges for possession of suspected cocaine and possession of suspected marijuana, they say in the article, candy. Look, I'm just, so gummies? Okay. An arrest affidavit obtained by USA Today states the arrest was made as a result of a joint effort with Miami-Dade and the Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection, per the affidavit. Quote, the defendant had contraband inside of his personal travel bags, which he claimed prior to being searched. Upon testing, officers determined the substances were cocaine and edibles. He was released on $2,500 bond on Tuesday and has a hearing set for April 24. Paul is referred to as Combs's quote-unquote mule in the Little Rod civil lawsuit against Sean Combs and Cuba Gooding Jr. In an amended lawsuit filed in New York, federal district court by Jones on Monday, he refused to Paul Combs's mule, writing that he allegedly procured, transported, and distributed ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, mushrooms, and 2C. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. That's the pink cocaine, the 2C. It's in the lawsuit. We'll get to it. By package, yes, I said pink cocaine. Well, I promise we'll get there. There's pictures. If you're listening on audio, you're like, what? Oh, they get to it in this article too. Keep reading, Emily. And 2C. Packaging these substances in their carry-on luggage and going through TSA. 2C is described in the lawsuit as a pink drug that is a combination of ecstasy and cocaine. We're going to go through all of that in the lawsuit. What's interesting to me is that at the executive airport in Miami, where you would have, private jets leaving from, an individual that is mentioned in the Little Rod lawsuit as being someone who transported and carried drugs for Sean Combs in like a black fanny pack, is arrested in possession of the drugs that in the civil suit it says that this man rolls around with. So when you're looking as a prosecutor for ways to back up the statements given by individuals, this arrest is going to support the veracity and truthfulness of Little Rod's statement that this individual carries drugs for Sean Combs, especially if, and this is an if, I said if he was getting ready to board Diddy's plane, because we know that plane took off from Miami in the afternoon and went to the Bahamas. So it seems that maybe law enforcement got to that plane before it left and was able to search things. Very, very interesting. This arrest is very interesting to me when we look at the veracity of what is alleged in the Little Rod suit. Of course, Diddy denies it. His lawyer denies it. And they are, I'm sure, going to continue to deny it. Federal charges have not been filed. The civil lawsuits have not gone through court process. But there is a lot of smoke here for Diddy. I mean, and on social media, 50 Cent has all of the smoke for Diddy. I just wonder how much smoke, Suge Knight, who's sitting in custody, has for Diddy. Like, what does Keefe D have to say about it? Because in Keefe D's book, Emily, did you read Keefe D's book? Yep. I read all of Compton Street Legend because I was very curious to see if Keefe D's book is what landed him in prison for the murder of Tupac. And I talked about that in another episode of The Emily Show. But in Keefe D's book, he said that Diddy offered to pay him and failed to $1 million to take out Tupac and Suge Knight. And that's what led to the murder of Tupac in Vegas. Because the, quote, East Coast, West Coast beef was getting too hot. So Diddy wanted Keefe D and his crew to take out both Tupac and Suge Knight. look, y'all, the East Coast, West Coast scene in the 90s was wild. It's what led to the death of Biggie. There are other shootings involved in it. It is an entire study in and of itself that we can't get into today. Right after Keefe D got arrested for the murder of Tupac back in, what, October 2023, 50 Cent took to Instagram with a photo of Tupac to say, quote, "Damn, so Pac got lined by Brother Love," referring to Diddy. "LOL, time to lawyer up. Shit might get sticky." So since, well, 50 Cent's been throwing shade at Diddy beyond that and more lately. But the second Keefe D gets arrested, 50 Cent is like, time to lawyer up, Puff. Time to lawyer up. Time to lawyer up. 50 Cent knows what's up. If you guys aren't following 50 Cent talking about this case on social media, 50 Cent is my favorite commentary on this case on social media. Just look, they know what's up. They're talking about what's up. I don't think 50 Cent's afraid of anybody. I don't think he's afraid of Puff. It's been funny. It's just absolutely been funny. So if I trust anybody to know what's up in all of this, it's those within the music industry, particularly those within rap and hip hop, 100%. So I love that 50 Cent clocked it. He's continued to clock it since then, but he clocked immediately that shit might get sticky for Puff Daddy. Look, we know that Keefe D has worked with the feds because he self-snitches in his book, Compton Street Legend. This book is probably what ended him getting arrested, but that's beside the point. He has talked to the feds in the past. Do I doubt at all that the feds are like, yo, Keefe D, what's up? So we know you're in state custody for murder, and there's not much we can do about that, but we could maybe try. But what else do you want to tell us about Puff? Like, I believe Keefe D at this point has all of the smoke for Diddy and is going to tell the feds exactly what he knows. I wouldn't be surprised because he already has. And now he's facing murder charges. Who knows? Who knows what the feds might be able to work out? That trial's not till November. Am I going to be keeping a real close eye on what's going on with Keefe D's case in Las Vegas? Yes, because that's a state case, not a federal case. Two different agencies. But the feds have worked with him in the past, and the feds are investigating him now. And he put it in his book, and he talked about it in multiple interviews. And it's said by him in his book that he told the feds about it the first time he talked to them. So maybe they won't talk to him. Maybe they'll just use his past proffer and go with that, because they have a past proffer from him from his narcotics cases where he talks about what Diddy was up to. So I'm very interested to see if the murder of Tupac, a alleged hit on Suge Knight, the 1999 nightclub shooting in New York, where the Little Rod lawsuit alleges that J-Lo was holding the gun for Diddy and that Diddy asked others to take the fall for him, whether those will start to come in as part of a pattern of behavior for a RICO organization when we start seeing charges that also involve trafficking, sexual assault, and other allegations. Will we also see these allegations as part of the RICO organization, not necessarily charged on their own, or maybe they will be, but as part of the RICO organization? As it pertains to Tupac, murder doesn't have a statute of limitations. As to other assaults and shootings, they do, but it doesn't mean they can't be part of that pattern of behavior in a RICO case. And that would be very, very interesting to see. So why is the New York nightclub shooting incident coming up? Well, because it comes up in the Little Rod lawsuit, but also Cassie in her lawsuit says that Diddy would make her carry weapons for him, which made her incredibly uncomfortable when they were out and about. So is this the first time we're hearing that Diddy might have used someone he was dating to carry weapons for him into clubs? Nope. It's now mirrored in two different lawsuits. So we're going to see what happens with that. I imagine that people who associated with Diddy, whether positively or negatively, are going to be worried after seeing all these lawsuits, because what we are finding is not only is there a whole lot of underage girls involved, there's a lot of narcotics and people not always knowing that there's narcotics involved, weapons, allegations of shooting and shootings and bragging about shootings, including a more recent shooting in LA that we're going to talk about in just a second, but also that there is so much video of parties, video at the recording studio, video where those might not know that they were being recorded, and that there in all of these suits are allegations of lots and lots and lots of video. And that is, I am sure, one of the primary things the feds were looking for to back up the allegations that are made in numerous civil lawsuits. And in the case of the Little Rod lawsuit, with pictures. Like, he puts the screenshots into the lawsuit. And that's what we're going to take a look at now. A huge thank you to today's sponsor of the Emily Show podcast, Lumi. Lumi has body odor handled. And Lumi is unique in that it is a whole body deodorant, which means you can use it from pits to feet and everything in between. For our family, we use the stick deodorant quite a lot and also love the body wash and the deodorant wipes that all work together. So making sure the kids have the body wash very much helps support their good hygiene habits, because we're at that age of life where bodies are changing and odors are too. And because you are a listener of The Emily Show, we have an offer for 15% off for all new customers with our exclusive code. And if you get the already discounted starter pack, that's over 40% off of the starter pack, which is a great way to try their stick deodorant, cream deodorant, and the products I love, like the body wash and the deodorant wipes. So use code LAWNERD for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. Thank you, Lumi, for sponsoring this episode of The Emily Show. United States Federal Court, Southern District of New York. Again, this is the second amended complaint that Little Rod or Rodney Jones is asking the court to allow him to file. I think that this will be filed. Will it maybe take a few days? Maybe. But I think that this will be the controlling legal document. It adds in other defendants. It is about 20 pages longer than the original complaint. This suit is like a month old, and we're now on the second amended complaint. This is versus Sean Combs, Justin D'Or Combs, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lucian Grenage, the CEO of UMG, Universal Music Group, Christina Quorum, Love Records, Motown Music, Universal Music, Combs Global Enterprises, and others. There is a trigger warning on the lawsuit. This is something I have only seen done in New York to date. Will we see it in other lawsuits? Maybe. I'm going to read you the warning on this lawsuit and tell you that I will be going over an overview of this lawsuit. I am not going to be going into all of the allegations made in this lawsuit. They are widely reported on, and to understand the overarching way that this lawsuit might play into a federal prosecution, a federal criminal prosecution, we don't need to get into all of it, because that is information that can be found elsewhere. I want you to understand the legal stuff behind this lawsuit without getting into every single detail that is in this lawsuit, if that makes sense. And I think it helps give an overview of what the feds are looking at with potential RICO charges. Trigger warning. This document contains highly graphic information of a sexual nature, including sexual assault. Additionally, there are graphic images of the aftermath of a shooting, redacted images of sexual intercourse, redacted images of minors, sex workers, and prostitutes, details of sex trafficking, and the illegal distribution of guns and drugs. That's the warning at the beginning of the lawsuit. For each defendant that's listed, They have included a photo of defendant. And I will say that the screen capture of Sean Combs is one of the shadiest pause faces I have seen. But they definitely didn't use a Getty Images photo of Sean Combs. They are also going through every single defendant and company in the lawsuit with either photos or logos. The quick overview summary of events from this lawsuit is as follows. From September 2022 to September 2023, Jones produced 9 songs on Combs' Love album. From 2022 to 2023, Jones lived with Combs for months, spending holidays, birthdays, and missing major family events. Jones resided at Combs' residence in Los Angeles and Miami, Florida. He also spent weeks on a yacht rented by Combs in the U.S. Virgin Islands and St. Bartholomew? I'm not bougie enough to know, but I'm going to find out because I love the Virgin Islands. They're beautiful. As detailed below, Mr. Jones made several trips with Combs to New York City throughout the time living with him. Throughout this time with Combs, Jones witnessed, experienced, and endured many things that went far beyond his role as a producer. The claims raised in this complaint have been corroborated through witness statements, video, audio recordings, personal experiences, and images Jones possesses. They start at the beginning saying that they have all of the receipts. Do I think that this is a signal beyond just Combs' lawyers? Possibly. But it's letting everyone know who's going to look at this lawsuit that the allegations made in this lawsuit, they say, are backed up through video and audio recording, images, and witness statements. They did not come to play. They came with receipts. They say that Mr. Combs required Jones to record him constantly. On several occasions, Combs took Jones's phone and began recording himself. As a result, Jones has secured hundreds. And in this lawsuit, hundreds is not just bold, but in all caps. Hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Combs, his staff, and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. It goes on to say that Mr. Jones has personally witnessed and secured irrefutable evidence of the acquisition, use, and distribution of ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms, the display and distribution of unregistered illegal firearms, Combs providing leased alcoholic beverages to minors at his LA home in July 2023, and sex workers at his homes in California and in the Virgin Islands, Florida, and St. Bart's, which the chat let me know that St. Bartholomew was the full, like, I don't know, legal name of St. Bart's. So thank you, law nerds that are members that let me know. Mr. Combs' chief of staff, Christina Corum, who they refer to as KK throughout this lawsuit, instructs her staff to retrieve drugs so she can provide them to Mr. Combs for his consumption. Christian Combs drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. Mr. Combs detailing how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes to soften the impact of his public image of the Cassie Ventura lawsuit. Young Miami's cousin and or assistant sexually assaulting Mr. Jones. Actor Cuba Gooding Jr. sexually harassing and assaulting Mr. Jones. And then the names of others that they say he says he has video of. And he goes into rapper and R&B singer Redacted. And then talks about their behavior. And then in the footnotes, starts to lead folks to be able to guess who they are by detailing who they've dated and who they know. It then starts talking about the September 12th, 2022 shooting at Chalice Recording Studios. Little Rod then goes into detail what happened during this event and that Mr. G was at the studio with Sean Combs and Jay Combs, and they had all gone into a bathroom. Well, Jones, Little Rod, was about 2 feet away from the bathroom when gunshots started ringing out. Jones says he recalls hearing the gunshots, that he was shocked because it was so close to him and he was afraid that he would be shot, that when the door opened, Combs, both Combses, exited the bathroom and he saw G laying on the floor and bleeding. He included pictures of that bloody bathroom and then went in to talk about how this ended up being reported in the media that G was standing outside the studio and shot in a drive-by. And then it was later reported that he was robbed and shot outside the studio. So then it details the way that this story went from this individual being in a bathroom with Sean Combs and J. Combs and shooting happening to this being outside the studio and everybody saying that it was outside the studio, and how Combs told Little Rod that he was going to get on board with that being the story, and that he was going to tell law enforcement that that's exactly what happened, and he explained why he did. And then he goes into detailing that he believed that not only did the lawyers and others cover up, but that the labels knew this as well, including UMG. He then complains in his suit that, and again, it is a complaint. So he then complains or details in his suit that Diddy tried to pressure him to engage in sex. He did not want to engage in sex with Diddy, and talks about the various ways Diddy went about pressuring him to engage in sex, that he talked about other people in the industry that he had engaged in sex with, and that was totally fine. And that, quote, Mr. Combs promised to make sure that Little Rod wins producer of the year at the Grammys if he engaged in sex acts with him. It then gets into Mr. Jones describing being sexually assaulted by Young Miami's cousin and by Cuba Gooding Jr., including photos of alleged videos from those incidents. He detailed the way he was requested and required and induced to pay for sex workers to come back to parties at Diddy's house in Miami. And then that during some of those parties, there were clearly underage girls there. He alleges that there were at least at one particular party, five women who were clearly under the age of 16. And he talks about the fact that at that party, Diddy had laced De Leon and was making people do shots, and that Mr. Jones realized the next day after he had passed out that he had been served laced alcohol. And then he described how that happened at numerous parties and how the laced alcohol and the non-laced alcohol would be kept separate at different parties, and who would be given laced alcohol and who would be given just alcohol. And so they detail how that happens, not just at clubs, but at different parties as well. And it's often either De Leon or champagne that is laced. Jones alleges that he believed Diddy was trying to groom him to pass him off to engage in sexual behavior with Cuba Gooding Jr., that he did not want to engage in that behavior, and that they were on the yacht together, and includes photos from screenshot in the yacht and describes how he was fondled, how he was forcibly rejecting those advances, and then talks about Cuba Gooding Jr.'s past allegations and prosecution for similar behavior. He talks about the Love album and the fact that he had an agreement with Diddy to pay him for royalty and the rest of it, and that that was not paid, and that part of him continuing to engage with Diddy was trying to figure out how he was going to get paid after putting in 9 months of work on this album, living with Diddy, and then not being paid what he thought he was going to be paid. That will come up if this goes to criminal trial or if this goes to civil trial or both. It will come up that as part of this, he is saying, I was not adequately compensated for my work, because the defense will, of course, argue you're bringing all this up because you weren't compensated. However, if this is on photo, video, and the person he says that is transporting drugs for Sean Combs is then arrested with drugs on him, it's going to be really hard to say you're making all of this up because you didn't get paid. It becomes less of an issue, but it will come up. And he brings it up in the complaint saying, and by the way, I was not compensated for my work in addition to all of this. He talks about how Combs used his, quote, power and influence to threaten and intimidate Little Rod, including Combs telling him repeatedly and threatening him repeatedly that he would eat his face, it comes up a lot in this lawsuit. It comes up a disturbing amount that he says, you know, he would threaten to inflict harm on him. He threatened to inflict harm on his mother, and he threatened to eat his face. He also said in his lawsuit, quote, while standing in Mr. Combs' bedroom, Mr. Jones, little Rod, was forced to watch as Combs displayed guns and bragged about getting away with shooting people. According to Jones, Combs shared that he was responsible for the shooting in the nightclub in New York with rapper Shine. So that also comes up. And then in the lawsuit, they include a screenshot of a complex article, the title of which is Diddy's former bodyguard accuses the rapper of snitching on Shine over the 1999 shooting. It then goes on to describe that shooting, saying that the lawsuit saying, according to Little Rod, he shared that artist Ann Combs' girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, a.k.a. J-Lo, carried the firearm into the nightclub for him and passed him the gun after he got into an altercation with another individual. It then calls back to Cassie Ventura's lawsuit, saying, according to a civil complaint filed by Cassie Ventura during their decade-long relationship, Mr. Combs, quote, demanded that Ms. Ventura carry his firearm in her purse just to make her uncomfortable and demonstrate how dangerous he is. According to Jones, this was the case with Jennifer Lopez and Ms. Ventura. Combs required Brendan Paul and Little Rod to carry his firearm on their person whenever they went out. On one of these occasions, Jones was required to carry Combs' firearm when Combs recorded himself coaching Jones on how to solicit sex workers. And then they included an article with a photo of Diddy and J-Lo from the Chicago Tribune with the headline, Sean Combs, Jennifer Lopez arrested after New York shooting. I think she was detained for like 12 or 13 hours after that shooting. He was detained for a substantial amount of time as well. But I do think that if we see RICO charges, the feds could theoretically go all the way back to these shootings to show a pattern of behavior within Bad Boy Records or within Combs, whatever they define the enterprise as, because with a RICO charge, there has to be an enterprise, and then there has to be the pattern of behavior. They might reach all the way back to 1999. Thank you to today's sponsor, Shopify. Shopify really does power sales on the internet. But what you might not know is that Shopify can also power your sales in person. Shopify is where I run the Law Nerd Shop and have since the day it opened, because it made it so easy for me to start selling the merch that the Law Nerds were asking for. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you are selling soap, nail polish, or Law Nerd merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Plus, Shopify has the best converting checkout on the internet, 36% better when compared to other leading commerce platforms. It's no wonder that they have award-winning customer service. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and it's clear why. They make it easy, they have an easy conversion, and they support shops shipping worldwide. It's no wonder that when businesses grow, they grow with Shopify. So if you're ready to try Shopify for yourself, you can try a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lawnerd. Remember, that's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/lawnerd to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. And you're going to start hearing this real soon. Let's get back to today's episode. It goes on to say that Little Rod was terrified of Diddy and felt that he could not tell him no, that Diddy constantly made it clear that he has immense power in the music industry and with law enforcement, that Diddy made it clear that his head of security had the power to make people and problems disappear. There is then an entire section of the lawsuit titled, quote, Defendant Christina Quorum is the Ghislaine Maxwell to Sean Combs' Jeffrey Epstein. They then go through and make allegations about what Little Rod witnessed in the 13 months he lived and traveled with Diddy and what role KK played in not just the business, but in managing to procure things for Diddy and more, saying, quote, during the 13 months he lived and traveled with Diddy, he witnessed defendant KK openly order her assistants to keep Mr. Combs, quote, high off of gummies and pills. Footnote 23 is, we have a recording of this and we'll provide it to the court. That's the footnote. We have it on tape. It said the defendant would require all employees from the butler to the chef to the housekeepers to walk around with a black Prada pouch or fanny pack filled with cocaine, GHB, ecstasy, marijuana gummies, and Tucci, which is described as a pink drug that is a combination of ecstasy and cocaine. Yes, they included photos and a further description of what the pink cocaine is, saying that defendant KK wanted Mr. Combs' drug of choice immediately ready when he asked for it. They then go on to talk about where drugs came from, where they went to, where sex workers were solicited from, where they went to, who was soliciting them, how they ended up there. And then there are screenshots of all of them on a yacht, but the screenshot is very clearly of a video recording that is maybe 45 minutes long. It then includes photos of Brendan Paul and describes him as, quote, working as Mr. Combs's mule. He acquires and distributes Mr. Combs's drugs and guns. Again, this is the individual that was arrested at the private jet airport in Miami the day of the raids and had cocaine on him, according to the allegations. This lawsuit also talks about the freak-offs and behavior of recorded sex acts that happened in Cassie Ventura's lawsuit and are again reiterated in much the same way in this lawsuit. And then we start getting into the causes of action. And the first cause of action here is a civil RICO cause of action. I'm just going to briefly go through the other causes of action too, but the civil RICO cause of action is against Lucian Charles in his capacity as CEO of UMG, Motown Records, Universal Music Group, Sean Combs, Justin Combs, Christina Quorum, Combs Global, and Love Records. So this lawsuit is defining the organization as including Motown Records and Universal Music Group, all of Combs's businesses, and the head or CEO of Universal Music Group as the CEO, not in his personal capacity, but in his job capacity. The other allegations in this lawsuit are sexual assault and sexual harassment against Combs, sexual assault against Young Miami's cousin, who is listed as Jane Doe number one, premises liability for sexual assault committed by Jane Doe against Sean Combs because it happened at his premises, premises liability for the assault committed by Cuba Gooding Jr. against Sean Combs for what happened on the yacht, trafficking and the Victims Protection Act against Combs and others, aiding and abetting and inducing sex trafficking against UMG, Motown Records, Universal Music, and the defendant, Lucian, is it Grenage, as the CEO of UMG. Three counts of negligent infliction of emotional distress, one against Sean Combs, one against Jane Doe, one, Young Miami's cousin, and one against Cuba Gooding Jr., and then three counts of intentional infliction of emotional distress against those same defendants, a count of sexual assault against Cuba Gooding Jr., a count of knowing beneficiary in a sex trafficking venture against the CEO of UMG, Motown Records, and UMG, obstruction of enforcement of the Trafficking Protection Act against the CEO of UMG, Motown, and UMG, and then breach of oral contract against Sean Combs and Love Records for the failure to pay for the production on the record. It's quite a substantial amount of charges. Some of these are added charges in the second amended complaint. But the way that the lawyers laid this out, the way that they indicated exactly what evidence they had in this lawsuit would have made it very easy for federal prosecutors to be like, I would love to have a conversation with you. And if you would like to share any of the evidence that you've said that you have, we would be happy to take a look into it. And then a month after the first lawsuit is filed, you see the raids of Sean Combs's properties. To start to interview individuals, especially if this was already on their radar because of the other lawsuits, to interview individuals and start reviewing some of the digital evidence to establish that probable cause affidavit to go in and try to secure weapons, narcotics, video, home security system, phones, computers, recordings. Does that timing line up for me? Yes. Do I think that that's a coincidence? Not at all. And the fact that Diddy's lawyers said that this was this lawsuit and the other civil lawsuits were the basis of the raid lets me know that they think that this isn't a coincidence either. Do I think we will see an indictment in this case? At some point, I do think we'll see an indictment in this case. I don't think I can remember a time where we saw a raid on a very high-profile public figure that wasn't followed by an indictment. I was surprised that the arrest didn't immediately follow the indictment. But at this point, Diddy has not been arrested. He's not been indicted. They might be taking this to grand jury. They might be going through all the evidence they got in the raid before they take it to a grand jury. But we won't know that there's been an indictment until Sean Combs gets arrested, because they normally do the arrest warrant and then unseal everything after the person is taken into custody. But for now, he is free to move around. He's free to travel. He's free to leave the country. The only one who probably isn't free to leave the country is the one who was recently arrested in Miami, because now he's pending a felony case and probably has travel restrictions as part of the bail conditions. But all in all, there is a lot here. There is a lot in these civil lawsuits, and I think they are going to be the basis of what tipped the feds into finally going after Diddy after years of people raising questions, years of questions about his involvement in that nightclub shooting, in the Tupac shooting, among other things. So what will happen from here? I'm not sure. Will I cover it? Absolutely will. But the feds do not mess around. And of course, I think it's only fair that we end the podcast somewhat the way we started, with the words of 50 Cent, who took to Twitter shortly after the raids to say, quote, "Now it's not Diddy do it, it's Diddy done. They don't come like that unless they got a case." So we know what 50 Cent has to say about it. I'm sure you'll be keeping an eye on what he has to say about it on social media in the future. I know I will. I think 50 Cent is my favorite legal commentator on this case so far, hands down. And what do you think? Is this it? Is Diddy done? Let me know what you think about this case. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a law nerd. I know you've wanted me to cover it. Look, man, the Southern District of New York does not play at all. And I think we will see an indictment in this case. The question is just how soon. I imagine if I was a federal prosecutor, I would want some time to go through the digital evidence, especially if it's voluminous. But I'd also be keeping a real close eye on where Diddy is. That's for sure. And with that, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a law nerd. I will talk to you in the next one. So may your Wi-Fi be strong. May your toilet paper be plentiful and your bidet not be too splashy. May your family be well and may the odds be ever in your favor. I'll talk to you in the next one. Bye. You can stay up to date with everything I'm covering on our free iOS and Android app at lawnerdapp.com, or search your app store for Law Nerd. And you can also follow me on social media at The Emily D. Baker. Remember, I stream on YouTube on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I recap all of that for you in quick bits on Monday. And of course, The Emily Show drops on Wednesdays. Thanks for being a Law Nerd.